Welcome to Stay On Your Flower here at the Atheist Kibbutz in the People's Republic of Moreland. This is Catherine Devaney and this is my podcast. And joining me for the very first is Clementine Ford. She is a freelance writer, broadcaster and public speaker based in Melbourne. She writes on feminism, pop culture and social issues. We're not bra burning and inciting women to radical separatist lesbianism. She can be found yelling at her television and making pithy jokes on the radio. She blogs at www.clementineford.com.au. She's also a notorious boner killer, bookworm and bon vivant. Welcome to the first podcast.
I'm so excited to be here, Catherine.
Why?
Well, mainly because I'm interested looking inside an atheist kibbutz.
And this is your first entry into my home, which is the first atheist kibbutz.
It is. I'm not leaving, by the way. I'm just going to kick one of your kids out, I think, and take their bed.
We've gotten rid of them already.
Oh, good.
There was a garage sale, and we just set them off free to a good home. So what is your initial reaction? I mean, I'm sure a lot of people are fascinated by what it looks like inside my house.
I think it's lovely. It's higgledy-piggledy, and it's exactly the kind of house I would like to live in. But having said that, I am a boner killer, so yeah. I don't think that my tastes can possibly be accepted by the wider population.
I'm a girl. If you're a gay man, I would consult you on taste, but otherwise. But listen, the reason that you're here is because you wrote a great piece on Friday on The Drum about an article, an interview that I did with Mamma Mia on body image. So tell me about finding this article that I wrote. There was a picture of me in my bathers.
Well, that's, you know, like you, I'm a massive user of Twitter and Facebook and things, and I just happened to be doing my daily procrastination 8 hours worth on Facebook, and some people had shared the interview that was on Mamma Mia. Mm. And, you know, I'm a big fan of yours and big fan of some of the things that are on Mamma Mia as well, so of course I followed it, and was just really, I was really inspired by a lot of the things you said in it, but again, like as the comments kind of progressed, I just started getting more and more frustrated at how quickly they derail into women arguing with each other.
I'd love to take it back. So the first thing you see is there's something about me. It's on body image.
I tend to do that. I tend to just launch straight in.
No, I'm explaining because there's some people who may not have read it. So you click on the article, you see the picture. What do you see?
I saw a picture of you in your bathers posing at a creek.
Mm, Merry Creek.
I thought it might have been Merry Creek.
It's called Merry Creek because open sewer is taken. So.
And the headline was, I'm 80 kilograms, size 16, and I love my body, : Catherine Devaney. And then it was just proceeded to be an interview. I don't know if that's the right word to use there. What happened was there was an interview with you talking about your body, your relationship with your body, and about how you would hope other women to develop relationships with their bodies that had nothing to do with starving themselves to be thin or necessarily feeling like they needed to be bigger in order to fit one of two different kinds of ideals. Mm. That's what I got from the interview. I think that there were some questions in there as well about, the arias, that's right, and you were talking about the kind of the cookie cutter image of all the women at the arias, which, again, like, that sort of seemed to inspire some kind of anger in the comments. But I feel like sometimes with those things, it's really, really difficult in an interview like that to really articulate, because it's such a pervasive topic in our culture, it's really difficult to articulate that what you mean isn't that you hate those women or that you think that they're unattractive, but that they're fitting into a very, very narrow stereotype, which ultimately ends up making them all look the same. I don't think that that's actually a criticism of them or the way that they look. I think that that's a criticism of the narrow ideals that we have for women. Women in the public eye who are expected also to be attractive.
So when you read it, your overall feeling was
positive.
Right. Positive, this is,
I thought it was brazen. And I thought that what was different about it was that you often, I mean, I've in the past just gotten really, really frustrated with radio personalities or newspaper personalities who pose nude, you know, because they're trying to establish some kind of body empowerment. I hate that word empowering. It's been completely co-opted to just mean basically any choice that someone makes to be objectified, I feel. And I think that there was a few years ago, there was a spread in Madison There was a Melbourne-based radio presenter, beautiful. I mean, it doesn't matter if she wasn't, but she was, I think, considered to be on the plus size. And she posed nude in response to Jennifer Hawkins' cover of, was it Marie Claire? Saying, well, I'm beautiful, you know, people can't aspire to your perfection, Jennifer Hawkins, I'm more real. And it just descended, I think, I mean, well-intentioned as she may be, those sorts of things just descend into, I'm real, I'm a real woman, and you're not a real woman because your perfection is hailed in society, and therefore my flaws, I'm going to try and assert them as being more real than you, because that gives me some kind of power and ownership. And I don't think that that's actually an aggressive sort of act on the women doing it. I think that it's just a natural response of people who don't feel like they fit in to a particular model. Mm. So the difference I found with your interview was that I didn't feel like you were posing in your bathers so that people could leave 100 comments saying, oh, you look beautiful, isn't it wonderful? We can all be bigger and we can all still be attractive.
Mm-mm.
It was more just like, well, this is me in my bathers. I don't fit the model of what a woman is supposed to look like. But I don't really care because I'm going to sit in open sewer and wear my bathers and whatever. Fuck yeah.
Mm-mm.
That's so, what I liked about
it. So you read it and that's what you got from it. And then you started to read the comments. And like, I mean, at this point, I just checked it before we got on air here. There's been 2,000 shares on it and there's something like close to 600 comments. So you started reading the comments and tell me what you saw and how you felt.
Well, I should point out that there were a lot of comments I read that were really positive. And I think that in the main, overwhelmingly, the comments were positive about it. Even people who, don't take particularly kindly to you, Catherine. Even a lot of those people I think were writing and saying, look, I don't normally agree with Catherine, but even this has made, has inspired me or impressed me about it. So I think that that's a really positive win for what it was that you were trying to do. But inevitably,
what do you think I was trying to do?
My impression of what you were trying to do was you were trying to say, like I said before, you know, this is me. I think I'm beautiful. I don't give a fuck if you think I'm beautiful. And I'm going to feel comfortable putting myself out there as a woman who has this attitude, demonstrating that to other women to shift the perception of finding attraction within ourselves. Because so often the conversation now is about what men find attractive. You know, we can all be attractive. Look, you know, men want this or men want that or men want lots of different kinds of things, or let's put some billboards up and we'll ask some men whether or not they find the women attractive in them. And I feel like that's actually just a really negative road to go down. It's completely missing the point.
And what is the point?
I think the point is that we need to be happy within ourselves, but we also need to be happy within ourselves in a way that's not defeatist. Not like, well, it doesn't really matter that I don't fit the ideal. I'm happy within myself. What I feel like you did with that photo was you presented an image of a woman who was totally 100% happy and confident in her body, but wasn't happy and confident in her body in spite of the fact that it didn't fit the model, but was actually happy and confident because of the way that your body is now, you know, that you've developed some kind of not just acceptance of it, but actual real love for it that is different to what I see in people asking people to accept it, you know?
Now,
that's my interpretation of what you're doing.
Yes, that's right. That's great. And you said developed an appreciation or a love for, which kind of suggests that it was something that wasn't born in me. I think that there is an assumption that women are not born with a 100% unconditional love for their body, that if they do have it, it's something that they have developed. So regardless of the positive comments about whether they were saying, oh, I like Catherine, I love everything she does, or I hate her and I like this, or I think this is a great thing, there was a lot of positive stuff. But talk about the other stuff that you found on that comment thread that really ignited you to, you know, get cracking and write something else.
Well, early on in your interview, you mentioned the line, I think it was something like, statistically, men are more likely to be attracted to slightly overweight women than slightly underweight women. And then I think later on there was, like I said, the mention of the Aria women. I don't personally believe that you meant anything rude or divisive in that comment, but it's the kind of comment that often derails, or it gives people an excuse to derail the conversation so they can say, oh, well, Catherine, you hate skinny women and I'm skinny. Why do you hate me? It's not fair. You shouldn't hate me. I can't help it.
Yeah.
And then because in the past, especially when this whole real woman thing came up, as I talked about in the drum, it was a way for people who'd been previously really marginalized within the model of what women, how women were allowed to be attractive. And they were given this kind of means with which to wrestle some of that power back. And instead of saying, right, well, we should all work together as women because we're all victims of this. And I'm not saying that, you know, larger women who are suddenly praised are all to blame at all, because I understand that motivation. But instead of doing that, it then turned into this conversation about, well, I'm a real woman and men prefer real women. Men prefer women with curves. Real women have curves. I'd rather have boobs and a bum than be a stick figure any day. And I think that now the reason that was what's happened in the comments to your interview was that's just a response to that. And what I'm saying is that it's ended up being years of just this kind of whirlpool of back and forth and people complaining about each other because they perceive the other person to be a detractor and an enemy, rather than just saying, hey, we are not each other's enemies and we won't actually liberate ourselves from this if we insist on being that way.
I was talking to somebody else and they just said, and so now what's come out is, got, you know, reading the thread, women are women's own worst enemy and it's their fault that these stereotypes exist because watch them all, you know, going each other in the thread.
That's what I find. I feel like it just acts as a distraction. And one of the problems with it is that it ends up just, it doesn't just diminish the conversation, but it allows people who don't want to have the conversation to say, oh, well, women are just whinging. They're their own worst enemies. It actually breeds a lot of really insidious misogyny because, I mean, you know, you've written stuff that has attracted that kind of particular male commenter. And I'm not saying all male commenters are like this, but that particular male commenter who makes a practice of seeking out articles written by women, particularly about women, and picking through them and saying either, well, this is boring and it's meaningless, or you women are all your own worst enemies, using every opportunity they can to dismiss women and their concerns and their stories. And this just feeds into being, you know, giving them that excuse to do that.
Here's some of the things that were said on the blog. Personally, I would be traumatized if I was this fat. I find those thighs pretty scary. Suit yourself. That's always suit yourself. Good for you. They're always beware when you hear those. Or just saying, good for you being happy with your size. But if I got to 80 kilograms, I would be disgusted with myself. I can't believe those thighs can cycle 20 kilometers and run 6 kilometers and still be that big. That would dishearten me after all that effort exercising. Sorry, Catherine, but you can bandy around all the words you like curvy, buxom, voluptuous, but I'm afraid you are actually fat. Forcing yourself to be unnaturally thin isn't healthy. Neither is being overweight. It's medically proven. Don't kid yourself. This was my favorite comment from someone called Miranda Nur. And you can see her little avatar, a Facebook avatar, I don't know, how would you describe that picture?
I don't know if I want to describe that picture because it's a particular kind of looking woman and I feel like that might just be further kind of...
But it just kind of gives you an idea. Yeah. I actually don't think this is a real person. It looks like a swimsuit model.
It looks like a fake account.
Yeah, it looks like a fake account. She's written, "Your proof that unusual bodies can be beautiful too, Catherine."
Well, like, I'm sitting here looking at you and you don't have that unusual a body.
And that's my response was, my body is not unusual. Now, there's a few things that I found really interesting in what you said. You're really aware of the discussion around body image. And there was your piece, and I've got it here, and it was saying, you know, unfortunately the comments were derailed somewhat by a few people insisting that because she'd included a throwaway line about men being attracted to slightly overweight women as opposed to slightly underweight, that Devaney had actually issued a tirade against thin women and their innate awfulness. Skinny bashing is a phrase that's become popular whenever articles about body diversity are published, and it's certainly not a myth. Now, I don't read articles about body diversity. I don't know about skinny bashing. I don't care. It just doesn't interest me. You're clearly well-versed in this discussion to know about skinny bashing as a term, to also know what comments to expect. So if you were writing an article, like, I mean, there'd be things that I would be writing an article about, like, same-sex marriage, carers, disability, atheism, private schools, private health, women changing their surnames. I know that discussion, and I have got the top 10 responses to everything. Whereas you're aware of these.
So what's my go-to argument?
I should probably go back and explain how that article, it was a little interview, came to be. I had been doing what you had been doing, like, on sitting on Twitter, and this article came up on Mamma Mia, and it was talking about Mia going to a pool party, and she was saying, and the dads and the kids hopped in and the women didn't. And it came to light, I think she did eventually and a friend did, but it was just like, why don't women feel more confident with their body? Why were they standing there sweltering when they could have been in the pool having a bit of a laugh? And this thing just really gets to me. All of these, you know, it happens in men, it happens in a whole lot of people's worlds that they feel inadequate when they don't need to. But this one in particular is so aggravating, because I just look around at women and men and just see gorgeous and beauty, and you say, you look fantastic, you look so healthy, I love that dress. You know, you just see people walking into a room and looking luminous or energized. So I had this photograph, and the photograph was taken by one of the mums at school, Carla Gotchens, and she was entering a photography competition, and she wanted to do a portrait with me on Merri Creek. And what she wanted to do, which she did, was me as Portia lying in Merri Creek, which was, I didn't stop scratching for days. And I had this idea of doing a crumb girl photo. So she said, if you've got any other ideas, and it was a warm day, and I hopped on my bike in my bathers with a denim skirt on, and we just took a couple of shots like that. All I put on was lippy. I didn't look in the mirror. I didn't do my hair. I remember afterwards going, I didn't even have any mascara on. My toenails weren't done, nothing. And we just snapped off those shots and they were there. So I had it and I just sent it to Mia and I just wrote, size 16, 80 kilos. I shag, strip off, run, swim at any opportunity and feel free to publish. She said, let's do an interview. I said, fine. And it was very late in the day. Rick from Mamma Mia called me. We did a quick interview over the phone. He then sent it through, and at about 10:30 at night, I just corrected any blaring errors and just sent off. Didn't think anything of it, as often happens with these things. So the next morning I woke up and it was there, and I wanted to make sure, I clicked on it to make sure that Skelly and Trombone, where the bathers were from, were plugged, because they are a fantastic independent, I love independent businesses in Melbourne, particularly ones that are run by women, and I plug them whenever I can, and also to make sure that Carla, also an independent businesswoman, photographer, was plugged. And I started reading the comments, you know, good on your stuff, and I don't care what, I really, you know, I just say, people say, you must have a thick skin, Catherine. It's like, no, I don't, I just don't give a fuck what people think. Not a bad way. The only person who I care what they think is me. So I started reading, and it's just like, oh, you're good on you, good on you. That's great. And then sad stories. So, you know, I was bulimic and I was anorexic, and then I've had this done and that done, and I'm still not happy. And, you know, they're very, very sad. I've never lived in that world. And I remember thinking about 20 comments through. I don't normally read the comments, but occasionally on certain articles, I get really hooked into them. And I'm not talking about necessarily articles that I've written, because it really exposes a world that I didn't even know was there.
I think comments are often more revealing than
it's amazing. And I think if you want to know, if you've written something or if you feel passionate about something and you read the comments, you can get quite aggravated, because people who are not agreeing with you or whatever, whether you've written it or whether you believe it, can be really quite infuriating. But the best thing is to read an article, read the comments on an article where you don't have an opinion on it, and you just see who comes out of the woodwork.
This is so boring, I couldn't even get two-thirds of the way through.
Yeah, yeah, and all that kind
of... But I left a comment.
I know, it's just bizarre. And people who will just find any hole, they'll create, like, there's an article there or it's something about a person, and they'll talk about the thing, well, why didn't they talk about this, or they didn't mention this, or, well, that's all right, but they should be responding to this. And nothing can respond to everything. So I started reading, and I do remember thinking in my head, the haters will be out. What can they possibly find wrong with this? Because in my mind, all I was saying is, this is me. I don't fit the mold of what people think is what is conventionally beautiful. But let's face it, I've got an hourglass figure, right? Small waist, big bum, big tits. And that is one of the most conventional body shapes. And I just went, this is me. And I was thinking, what are the haters going to say? What are they going to find? And I thought, oh, they'll talk about the, oh, what about that crack about Bindi? That crack about Bindi was exactly about body image. And I was amazed. Suddenly from nowhere, this term skinny bashing came up. And I'm just like, what? I don't even know what that is. You know, if she's a size 16, 18 kilos, she's classified as obese or overweight or whatever. It's like, according to who? Like, and the BMI has been hugely discredited. And I was shocked by how women, the women who commented in those kind of terms were so uneducated, so into weight and health, but had no idea that weight is no indication of health whatsoever. There are lots of indicators of health, and weight ain't one of them. Of course, you know, you go, but what about if you're anorexic? What if you're 200 kilos? Of course. We're talking about if you are dealing with a person and you're trying to find out their health. And people were having a go at me for having mud cake, and you shouldn't be eating mud cakes every night. And a lot of people saying, you're not voluptuous or buxom, you're just fat. And the word overweight and underweight, according to who? And so I was really fascinated by the lack of insight and the self-hatred. It's like, okay, women's bodies, we have to hate ourselves, and there has to be hate in the equation. So if she's not hating herself, we have to either hate her or we have to get her to hate herself, because that equation of woman and body image cannot exist without hate.
I think that that is true, but I think that that's on such a deeply subconscious level that I don't think that people would even acknowledge that. I think there's so many issues around it, but one of them is it's not just about, well, she doesn't have any self-hate, so we've got to hate her for her because that's women's role. It's that people, especially critics of people who say, I'm quite happy with myself, thank you very much, and I will eat cake if I want to, as an example, some people are so deeply offended by the idea that you could be occupying a state of being that they don't find attractive and you refuse to apologize for that. So it's not so much about them wanting you to hate yourself because that's what you're supposed to do. Mm. It's that you are offending them on a visual and social level based on what they've been trained by. And you're like, I don't really care. And they can't sort of understand that. Instead of saying, well, look, or saying things in very measured, reasonable ways, they say things like, well, I've got a news flash for you, Catherine.
Yeah, yeah.
You're actually fat.
Yeah.
So there's all this condescension and patronizing in it. But hang on, but
what's in it for them? Like, I don't give a fuck what anybody thinks. What's in it for them to say, it doesn't matter what you... And I don't even put...
Because people like taking... At its heart, people love schadenfreude.
Yes.
And they love to look at someone who they think is breaking the rules and not apologizing for it and say, well, I've got a newsflash for you. You're just fat.
Yeah,
and by the way, I'm not saying this because I hate fat people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's because I'm concerned about your health.
Like, yeah.
When did any Australian ever genuinely kind of express any kind of genuine concern over the average Australian's health? It's because they don't like the fact that you're fat.
Mm.
And actually, they don't want you to not be fat, because as soon as we stop having fat people, then there's no one to point fingers at.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And project all of your own kind of issues onto them, because, you know, thin people who smoke and drink and have terrible diets and fast metabolisms, they don't have people pointing at them and saying, oh, well, you shouldn't be eating that, should you? You know, well, you're eating three Big Macs, but you're thin, so I'm not going to say anything. But if you're, you know, got any kind of chubbiness on you at all and you're eating something that someone doesn't approve of, all of a sudden the sneers and, oh God, I can't believe that they're eating that. And it's just this sort of really aggressive kind of mean culture that we live in. But that's just the general kind of attitude towards fat. Then there's all the stuff that goes on with women.
And also to do with, you know, I've always said that I wish there was a way to scientifically prove that women who colour outside the lines cop 1,000 times more vitriol and it's 1,000 times more vicious. And my friend Kelly, who is a gay, she'd call herself, she'd go, a fat old leso is what she'd call herself. I think she's one of the most extraordinary women in the world, and anybody who knows her thinks that too.
Yes,
and
she said... But Catherine, if I don't want to fuck her, then it means that everything she says is
Valueless?
It's valueless.
Yeah. Well, she was saying, she goes, oh, geez, gave me the corn, you know, freaked myself off over that picture, whatever. I saw her at the Twilight Market yesterday. And I said, I couldn't believe the amount of hate and the kind of hate. She goes, what do you mean? You know, of course, there's nothing people hate more than a woman who's happy with herself. And she was like, well, of course. I don't know what planet you're living on. And she said, look, feminism hasn't come that far. She's 50. She's just turned 50. And she said, oh, I said this bloody feminist thing. A friend of mine was doing this feminist thing last night and I went along. Oh, I just was so over it. And I just stood up and I went, rant, 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 pickaxe to the spinal cord. I'm out of here. And she just went, you know, we were doing that 30 years ago. I was young and I was beautiful and we're all there. And now I'm old, I'm fat, I'm in pain. We haven't gotten anywhere. We haven't gotten anywhere. This is what she said. And I was amazed by, I mean, of course, the response was overwhelmingly positive, but the comments that do really shine a light on what's going on in our collective subconscious, it just felt to me like the really typical hating on somebody because they've subscribed or you've been trained to think or brainwashed that there is a certain way to be and they've denied themselves so much in order to be like that. They've been hungry, they've been uncomfortable, they've hated themselves, they've cut down other women who haven't lived up to this expectation, they've cut down themselves, they made themselves feel bad. But
I think I just want to interject and make the point that, and I'm sure this isn't what you meant, but when you say hungry women, it's not just people who conform to that who would cut down a woman who says, oh, well, I, you know, fuck it, I don't care. It's all women of all different kinds of sizes mm-hmm. who are victims of this particular kind of oppression who feel, not all women, but feel animosity towards the other that, you know, whether or not it's the larger woman who feels animosity towards the skinny bitch.
Mm-mm-mm.
And certainly, I mean, look at Dawn French. Dawn French used to talk about skinny bitches who didn't eat chocolate.
Mm-mm.
And it was a joke because fat women are allowed to make jokes about skinny women.
Mm-mm-mm.
But skinny women aren't allowed to make jokes about fat women.
Mm-mm.
And I think that one of the things you said in your interview, which I really appreciated a lot, and I sort of kind of paraphrased it a bit in my article, was that for every size 8 woman who looks at you and thinks that you're fat, a size 24 woman look at you and think that you're thin and want to be like you. And I feel like for a size 16 woman of this particular kind who would feel resentful of a smaller woman, you know, I've heard things like, well, what could she possibly know about body image? She's perfect or whatever. No woman is ever allowed to feel like they're perfect. Yeah. So for every size 16 woman who thinks of a size 8 woman, well, what would she know about it? She's never had to face my struggles. A size 24 woman is looking at a size 16 woman and saying, well, what's she complaining about?
Yeah.
What would she know? I would love to be that size. And the end result is we're all looking at everyone else and saying, well, what would they know about my struggles? I feel oppressed. I feel unhappy. I feel like I'm not good enough. I feel like I'm not allowed to be attractive. And every day is a struggle where the majority of my time goes into thinking about how I'm not being accepted by society because I'm not good enough.
Mm.
And that's the problem. It's not about who's got it better or worse.
Yeah, yeah.
It's about the fact that we've failed so far to come to a collective understanding that we're all fucked.
Mm-mm.
And we all need to kind of like stand up, whether or not, yes, okay, our culture does predominantly value thin women over larger women. That's true. And I feel like to that degree, if we all want to sort of stand up together, then people who fit into that need to have some kind of acknowledgement that they are luckier in that sense, in that that's
they
one
have an
less,
advantage.
It's one less battle for them to fight.
Yeah.
But that feeling of being accepted should be available to all women. And I don't want that to be, you know, Jennifer Hawkins sitting on the front of a cover of a magazine saying, well, we're all beautiful. Or what was it Miranda Kerr said recently? A rose can't be a sunflower and a sunflower can't be a rose, but it doesn't mean they're not both beautiful. You know, that kind of, it's a really patronizing sort of language about us all standing there holding hands nude in a magazine spread and showcasing a wide range of bodies because we should all be loved. Look at us boys, love us. And I just don't think that that's the point. Commenters seem to, these days, they seem to fail to understand that the very function of the comment thread is that they can further
explore all of those issues that couldn't be fit into an 800-word article. I'm sorry, I cannot cover the history of feminism and all of its implications in 800 words. But you guys can talk about it in the comments, but instead you get people saying, well, you didn't even mention this, therefore your argument's shit.
My only point was just going, here is another perspective and here is another shape. I just want to dismantle, dissolve and detonate the supremacy of a certain kind of look and a certain kind of thought. And I only addressed the myth of men only like a certain body shape. Thank you for coming on to our first podcast that I think we should call Stay On Your Flower. And I'll tell you why. My niece is 4 years old. Well, she's five now. And she recently had her first dance performance. And it was a big night of kids from the age of 3 right up to 18 doing all these different dances. And she does ballet, tap and jazz, I think. It's a, kind of the triad. And the four-year-old in her group, the first song that she danced to was All the Single Ladies. And you can't help wondering whether the second song was going to be, you know, Don't You Wish Your Girlfriend Was Hot Like Me. But each of them was to stand on a vinyl flower. It was about like a little under a metre in diameter, so they knew where to stand. And this was hilarious, and Anthony, my partner, was sitting next to me going, stay on your flower, stay on your flower. Because you'd see them kind of, they'd move to the side, they'd do a couple of, and then three would end up on one flower and there'd be none on three and there'd be a bit of a fisticuffs over, that's my flower, you're on the pink flower. So it became a bit of a saying here, and I'd be, you know, I'd have a gig and Anthony said, you know, how'd it go? Did you stay on your flower? And it became a bit of a shorthand to, you know, do what you're told to do and stay on your flower. And I told my sister, Alex's mum, and she said, you reckon that's bad? You should have seen the second night of the performance, because we went on the first night. The second night of the performance, they opened the curtains and all of the little girls were standing on their flower. And my niece, Alexandra, picked up the flower, walked about a metre and a half in front of all the other girls and put her flower there, and that's where she danced. So perhaps we should all stay on our flower, but we should put it wherever the we want. So do you think the podcast should be called Stay On Your Flower?
I like it.
All right.
Stay On Your Flower.
Clementine Ford, go to www.clementineford.com.au or you can find her on Twitter, but she's all around the place and you can't miss her. And she's not the new Jermaine Greer, but she's pretty bloody close. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Catherine.